I'm Aaron Schachter. This is The World. The elections that started in India earlier this week won't be over for another month. That's why these elections are billed as the world's biggest ever. All told, more than 800 million Indians are expected to cast their ballots. The two main parties are battling for their votes, the ruling Congress Party and the opposition BJP, whose leader is considered the frontrunner to become India's next prime minister. Reporter Megan Williams has more from the Indian city of Varanasi.
As dawn breaks over the Ganges River, pilgrims splash in the sacred water. Above the bathers, the steps of Varanasi are already alive with life. Children sell garlands of bright marigolds. A tea seller lights her stove. And ferrymen stand in small clusters, awaiting the first customers of the day. For millennia, Varanasi has been a revered holy city, a sacred site for Hindus. But as India heads to the polls, the city on the Ganges has taken on political meaning. India's opposition party leader, the man many expect to win the election, has chosen Varanasi as his home base. It's a way to stress his commitment to a Hindu-based vision of India's national identity. That man is Narendra Modi, the charismatic leader of the BJP, or People's Party. In his campaign speeches, Modi eloquently conjures an India free from poverty and corruption, where no one goes hungry, where plumbing and electricity are universal, and the poor have access to education. It sounds great, yet Modi is a deeply divisive politician. A right-leaning Hindu nationalist from the state of Gujarat. He's accused of failing to stop anti-Muslim riots there in 2002 that left more than 1,000 dead. Hundreds of women and girls were raped. But as the head of the Gujarat government, he's widely credited as someone who's brought wealth and stability to his state. And he has immense appeal to young Hindus hungry for a slice of economic prosperity.
99% Modi ke liye soch rahe hain log.
34-year-old boat rower Maranam Deepo says 99% of his friends will be voting for Modi.
I support Modi, and I'd like to see the changes he brought in his home city of Gujarat here in Varanasi. Less corruption, putting the police in check, and cleaner streets.
But in the bustling lanes of Varanasi's Muslim district, support for Modi evaporates. 64-year-old Nab Abdullah sits in front of the small shop where he sells embroidered carpets and fabrics. He's part of India's 18% Muslim population that has long felt politically ignored or attacked.
I haven't voted in 20 years. I used to vote for the Congress Party when they stood for something, but none of the parties offer anything worthwhile now.
Asked if he's worried about Modi's Hindu nationalism, he laughs.
I've been whacked over the head so many times already, abused and beaten up, I'm immune to it. There's nothing Modi can do to me that I haven't already experienced.
Dula says he doesn't know a single Muslim who'll be voting for Modi. But it's not just Muslims who are shying away.
They have very fundamental approaches to issues in so many ways.
Sapna Shukla is a Hindu bank worker visiting Varanasi from the nearby city of Lucknow. She says Modi's traditional view of women and his authoritarian solutions to sexual violence leave her uneasy. She'd rather his People's Party advocate for more rights and freedom for women.
And as a woman, because of their fundamentalist policies, I don't know whether their policies will be good for women also. So I'm really scared about their policies on women and women-related issues. How Indian society treats its women needs to improve.
But Indians are longing for a change after a decade under the corruption-plagued Congress Party, now headed by Rahul Gandhi. And as a result, many seem willing to overlook concerns about Modi's possible Hindu fundamentalism, in hopes that he'll be the one to fulfill the promise of widespread prosperity, which has so far eluded India. For The World, I'm Megan Williams in Varanasi, India.